You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Carter, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
I want all the viewers in the world today to know that this creature is out there. I had no doubt in my mind that there is a primate, a hominoid, a biped, something that walks on two all over this country. There's an unknown species out there, and we're going to find it. We've done vocalizations. We've received something in return, answering to it. We're going to be sharing our finds with the world, because what we've got now, no one else has. And the legend carries on by the work that we've done all these years.
Bigfoot lives in a movie right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his stylish knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Grandfather, they go hell. Out in the St. John's Wall, Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And, folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, how's everybody out there around the globe?
Doing good.
North, beautiful land of the north. We're on the Blackfeet Reservation. We're sitting here amongst a round table of people, a plethora of stories from out in the woods, some of the finest family of our north that you'll ever find, ladies and gentlemen. We've been blessed. We've been up here. We've heard stories since, I guess, got to bed around 1:30 last night in the morning, got up around 6:35, 6:40 this morning, and we have not stopped. It's been a roller coaster ride. It's so good to see our family here in the north, people of the old and the people of the new, people that we've met. Stories that you have no clue. It has not ended. The day not ended here. Of course, we're an hour later than where you guys are in California. I've got to tell you, we finally made up or got up with the guy, Al Wayne Rosine, the guy that took a picture of the creature, motion footage of the creature, and people that he had talked to, the people who had seen it. Pretty incredible story. I'm going to have him on maybe next week. We've got so many people here. We got Daryl on tonight. We got David on tonight. We got Willie on tonight. But before we get to any of those guests, I want everybody to know one thing. Number one, you may have heard the story last weekend about a creature that was found, and the county coroner didn't find that it was human. It was not human after he tested it. This was the thing down there in Louisiana. Fine friend of ours, Roosevelt, who's a Bigfoot, avid Bigfoot listener and researcher, got a hold of us. Thank you for that, Roosevelt. And we got on it right away. And through the help of Chuck Creel and our boys down in Alabama and our boys down in Louisiana, the jury is still out. We don't know what we've got. Not me, the people down there. Without any further ado, let's get out there to Roosevelt. He's going to tell us about his story of his encounter back in 2008. Also, we'll tell you how he contacted me, like the rest of you people around the globe do, about... Roosevelt, you out there?
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
I'm doing well. I'm here amongst my family of the North. The hospitality has been glorious. The welcoming has been phenomenal. And the stories have been a cornucopia of Bigfoot encounters that have never stopped.
Well, that is wonderful. That's wonderful. You and among other people who believe in what you're doing, you can't do nothing but admire people such as yourself. You put a lot of effort into what you're doing, and you can't help but to believe in people like you, and you surround yourself with positive people like Chuck Creel. I mean, that man has been wonderful. I just happened to be browsing the Internet down in Louisiana, which happened to be down in Bossier County the weekend, and... something caught my attention on one of the topics that a body had been found in Bossier Parish off a dirt road near the Red River there. And also stated that the remains is somewhat of human and non-human. And which was the following Sunday, the time I contacted you, they had updated it that two guys had found these human-like remains. Naturally, to somebody like me and you, what we're looking for and have experienced, some of us, you know, that rings a bell. And I didn't know your number directly, so I went to searching the Internet. I said some of your partners must be on there. By me being one of your lower listeners, I was able to come across your good partner, Chuck Creel. I explained to him what this article said, and I said, I need to get a hold to Tom because I knew you. As a person that will pursue something, I don't have the resources or the contacts like you do. And he immediately gave me your number and then contacted you and left it up to you. I haven't heard any more from down there. I did call Monday and talk to a lady news reporter. I was trying to get in touch with the editor. I told her I was interested in what the human-like remains that was found there, and she asked me what did I want to know. I wanted to know, did it have five fingers on his hand or five toes, somewhat like human, but she couldn't tell me. She said the only thing that can determine that it was animal. So sometime another, it might not be now, but we're going to get the truth. Somebody's going to talk. They know what we after. And, you know, it's a lot of speculation, but, you know, we're going to get the truth sooner or later.
You know, Roosevelt, I'm glad that you brought that out for two reasons. Number one, why would a coroner go out and come public and say it's not human through his investigation? Now, I saw the same thing you did, but here's the twist and the turn in this story. Ladies and gentlemen out there in Bigfoot land, listen to what I tell you closely. All of a sudden, there's a twist, and supposedly now it's not human, it's animal. And there's somebody that concocted a story that 30 or 40 years ago there used to be a butchering plant on that site. And supposedly it could be some discarded bones of an animal. I mean, this is such a concocted bullshit story, excuse my French, that how does it go from a skilled academic coroner, ladies and gentlemen, from a coroner, that's a medical field, okay? They know if it's an animal. They know if it's a human. That's what they deal in, human beings. And he came out publicly and said, this is not a human skeleton. So what do you think happened, Roosevelt? You think maybe the men in black got there before anybody can open their mouth? Because everything's kind of undercover now, isn't it?
Yeah.
We don't hear it.
They're not releasing any more information. I checked the site again. They haven't gave, to my knowledge, another update on it. So somebody, you know, knows something. If it was a, like you say, a skeleton of a dog or a deer or something, why spend all that forensic time and all the cars? I mean, on the website, they had squad cars parked for, you know, as far as you can see on the website, on the road. You know, why take those many men over a dog or a deer? You know, you see roadkill every day. And
exactly.
2 or 3 days later, they still there. Ain't no yellow tape blocking off. I mean, something is going on. And something don't got our attention, and they know about it, and they trying to keep quiet about it.
You're exactly right. It's not like no other Bigfoot sighting. And you know what? I think we've crossed over to mainstream America, Roosevelt. But now we got the ears and the eyes, okay, of our government institutions, and they're involved now. And, of course, what do? Scoop it up. I think the last thing I heard on the wire service that, well, the remains is at the university, and they're going for further testing. Come on, I've heard that story all my life, man. So, okay, was it a Bigfoot skeleton? Apparently, it was so big that somebody got involved, and the media died down. When have you heard of somebody going to the media and telling them, stifle yourself, Edith? Get the picture? I'll leave the rest to your imagination. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a full show. We're up here. Time difference of the West Coast of 1 hour. It's mountain time. We've got a plethora of stories here from the indigenous people of the land. You're going to hear them all. Before we do all of that, I want to hear the full story from the beginning to the end, Roosevelt. Don't leave anything out. You've got the stage.
Okay, my personal sighting, I don't have time to tell you about this encounter here, was that in July 11 of 2008. I was coming home from Memphis, Tennessee. I was on Highway 18, which is one lane going and coming. In an area called, it was in Mississippi, Benton County, Mississippi. It was an area called Michigan City, Mississippi. It's a little small place that only has a post office left and a couple of houses. And while I was on 18 coming north, it was about 3 a.m. in the morning, I seen two feet in a road. And I said, there's somebody walking in the road. And as I was approaching, it kind of got out of my view and got on my right-hand side. It was a long, tall figure, just like the people had been describing the sightings on TV and other description. It was very tall. I would say estimate about 10 feet tall. Had a head with no neck, like, and it was very muscular, walking down the bank of the swamp there by the right-of-way. And, I mean, this was a huge, bucky creature, Tom. I mean, he was black in color. And my personal belief, when I got up by that way, I don't know direction, what spot he was actually in, but I believe he got behind the shrubbery, the growth that grew up beside the right-of-way and got behind that until I passed. But I did get this eerie, fearful feeling over me because I was by myself. And I saw what I saw. And I often think about that. I've told people about it. I got plenty of non-believers, what we call haters, haters, that will take your fighting as a joke. But, you know, but I saw what I saw. And I would never forget it.
You know, Roosevelt, I got to tell you a story. When I was interviewing Al Wayne, I was seeing today morning, as a matter of fact, it was amazing to see how he was very passionate about his story. And he was telling us about when he took his phone, he was out in a bar with his friends, kid's 26 years old, okay, still enjoying life. And people said, oh, that's a fake, and this is that, and everything else. And, of course, first thing that comes to his mind was, no, it isn't. I know what I saw. I know I took the photos. There was nobody else out there focusing anybody. And the hell with you. Okay?
Right.
And he really adamant and passionate about the whole thing. As I used to as a young person, as I've gotten older, I don't do that much more, okay? Because unless you really ruffle my feathers and then look out. But the point of it is that I know what the truth is, and the people who know me know the truth. The people who've been around me know the truth. As I knew the truth of what this kid had talked about. But
right.
I felt the passion, the sincerity in his voice, in his facial features, in his eyes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
As I heard it in your story here tonight. And I want to tell you, thank you, because you didn't do 100%. You didn't give 100%. You gave 150%. You didn't stop. You kept digging till you got the right person that knew me and gave you my phone number. And by the way, for those out there, when you did call my number, do I pick up the phone and answer?
Yes, indeed. You picked up right away. Most definitely. You're on top of your business, yes.
Yes, I am. I'm on top of the business, okay? As a matter of fact, you know, we have a newbie traveling with us, and we've got a guy that we've met in the past, and he's anonymous in the Arizona area, Mitch Waite. You're going to hear him talking about it. He's the chief monster chaser in Arizona, up in the Mogollon Rim. And I'm going to tell you, man, he's got a story that will frost your bananas. Trust me, okay? Because I didn't know about it just until yesterday. But we're going to break that story on the show here tonight after we get to our guests here in the northern country of Montana. Roosevelt, God bless you. Thank you for sharing some of your time and your story with our listeners around the globe. Mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show ahead of us. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, sir.
And thank you. You got a wonderful team. And like I said, my special thanks go out again to Chuck Creel. He was a big help in helping me reach you, and I'm so glad of that. You got a wonderful team. Keep up the good work.
Thanks again, Roosevelt. Hope to hear from you real soon.
Definitely will, Tom. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Roosevelt. And if it wasn't for him, just like the rest of you people out there, you can get to me. I pick up my phone. I'm not like Obama. I'm not like the rest of these people out there that think that they're, what's the story, that don't stink? Everybody knows what I'm talking about, but I don't want, yeah, their stuff don't stink. The reason being, folks, is we're out there chasing this thing. We want to get to the truth. The only way we're going to do it, by people like you out there with your encounters. We'll keep those phone calls coming, because it makes my job a lot easier, and God bless you for that. Without any further ado, we're going to go to Daryl here. He's going to tell us his story up in Unity, Oregon. I know it didn't happen here in Montana. Those stories are coming. But listen to this story. It will hold you at the edge of your seat. Daryl, tell everybody. Just talk.
Oh, yes. My name is Daryl. Read the story. And I was fighting fire as a hotshot crew out of Great Falls, Montana, and they sent us to Baker, Oregon, and from there we chucked into a small community called Unity, Oregon, and it was a big fire. But when we got established what they call a base camp, now they sent us out, and on our return trip back to our base camp, we decided to take a shortcut, and it was down a riverbed, but there was big, big boulders all over there. So what we were doing, we'd practically just jumping from one boulder to the other, going down that creek. And we were going at a pretty quick pace because we wanted to make it back to base camp before nighttime. And on our way down, there was two crews, and I was with the last squad at the end of the crews, and after we had reached the point where we had to climb a ridge of approximately 500 feet up. And before we even reached there, I had this feeling that somebody was following us. And And so was the other group. There were six of us there, and I said, "Man, I have this feeling somebody's following us back there." And he said, "Yeah, I have the same feeling." So when we got to where we started to climb up the ridge, I looked back and I seen this figure down there, and was in a brush, and but you could see pretty good from that vantage point because we was possibly about 300 feet up there. And this thing was right in was about maybe less than 100 yards in the back of us. And then they were just following us. So we got on top of the ridge, and we notified our crew boss, and he notified the other crew boss, and they did a head count. And all of our crew members were all present, but that thing just kept standing down, so we started calling out to it to come up. We thought it was one of our crew members, but it just stood there for the longest time. And then finally, not shortly after that, our buses came. It was a... there was just one bus that came after us, but this day I always remember because I can visualize that still that thing was standing down there just watching us. And to this day, I still believe that, and some of the other crew members that I was with, that it was a Bigfoot. Because I just had this funny feeling that, you know, that thing was, you know, while I was coming off the trail, it just kept up with us.
Kind of paralleled you, didn't it?
Yeah.
Huh?
And because of that, you know, we were in good shape, and we were going along pretty fast. I mean, we was making good time. And to this day, I think about that, and I don't like to talk about it because, you know, in those days when you talked about things like that, you know, people thought you were just making it up. But some of the guys that I was with from Great Falls, you know, I talked to them over the years, and they said, yeah, you know, like, we all seen it, you know. We seen what was down there on the bottom of that hill there. You know, it stood up, you know, on two legs. And I know it wasn't a bear. I've hunted bears before, and the thing about that was after a while, as the wind was coming up, it's everybody had a pungent smell to it, and that's when I realized, you know, that. I really believe to this day that we had an encounter with a Bigfoot.
Let me ask you this. Why are the people on the reservation so secretive? They don't really like to talk about their encounters.
I think they're afraid to be ridiculed, and they're afraid that other people won't believe them. They saw you're just telling a lie, but I've encountered some other people that have seen this Bigfoot creature, you know. And in one instance, lady, she said, "Yeah, I seen one of them up and went to the Marias Pass, and where she showed me at it, it was really a desolate place. There's hardly no people that live around that region." And I said, "What was it doing?" She said, "It was just standing there." And I just looked at it, you know, and then I was driving by, but I seen it. I believe that woman.
It's an amazing thing, isn't it? As you spread the word, and since we've been here since last night, okay, I don't know how many stories that we've heard, and Mitch Waite, God bless him, he's been here with us, and he says, "My goodness," he says, "I'm going to clean this up for you people out there in Bigfoot world, but this is like honey to bees when we show up in town." Everybody's coming out of the woodwork telling us stories of their encounters, of their sightings. And Bruce Schilt, you, our extended family, my brother from another mother up here on the Blackfeet Res, he made a comment to the reporters today that he believes that there's over 50% of the people on the res who have actually had a sighting or an encounter. And I believe after seeing what I've experienced through Wade, who's been our guide today, and our interpreter, and another new brother, and thank you, Wade. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for you to take from what you did today to be with us, man. It means an awful lot. And Daryl, I got to tell you, and I thank you for taking out and coming here to the conference here tonight with these people and sharing your stories with not just me, but now people all around the globe. Thank you again.
One other comment I'd like to make is that, you know, among the Blackfeet, on our elders, the elders knew that these
creatures.
Creatures existed, but they just called them stick people.
Yeah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, remember what he just said, stick people. When I first got in this business, about a ton of years ago, I hate to keep thinking about it, I remember they used to call it stick people, or the stick men, okay, of the forest. And I forgot about that until Daryl told me his encounter and what the Blackfeet used to call them. Now, Blackfeet also has a name for them in their language. You know what that is?
What is it?
Imwapiti, big hairy man.
Now, did you hear that? That's the calmness of my brother Bruce. He doesn't yell. He has that, actually, it's a sexual voice. And the girl in the background said, wow, if he's not married, I want to get to know that guy. So what we'll do is let's have him do it a little bit more audible, amplified. Can you do that, Bruce?
Imwapiti, big hairy man.
Very good. You guys got to hear it. Marco, are we coming across okay?
Yes, we are.
Okay, because I don't know if I'm going to lose you or not. Remember, we're on the satellite phone, and that's been going out on us up here. So that we're in a whole new region. Remember, we're how many miles from the Canadian border, 38? About 40 miles from the Canadian border. And this
so far,
is no,
so good, Tommy.
Okay, good. All right, listen. Dale, again, thank you. Just listen in. We're going to go over to David now. David had a great encounter out in Glacier Homes. And I believe that his encounter coincides with Wade's sister. Is that correct, Wade? Okay. Listen to this story. It may bring the hairs up on your neck. Ladies and gentlemen, David is going to talk about Glacier Homes incident.
We was all sitting around at my auntie's house, uncle's house, and was getting ready to eat supper. My uncle walked outside, and was all younger, and my uncle ran outside, and he hollered at us, "Lock the cuff outside!" And there was a ball wire around back his house, and we all went out talking about the human feet. This feet was huge. It was big foot that was the size of a way bigger than a foot's feet, a human's feet. That feet was big. It was huge, big. And I wish I had a camera to, so I can take a picture of it, because I was all younger when this happened on evening time. And I think Bigfoot is real. People don't realize it, that there is a human out there that they got to see for their own eyes.
That's good, David. Thank you for that. And I got to tell you, maybe you can amplify for your own sister, Wade. Tell a brief story of encounter, what happened from her.
Hi, this is Wade Running Crane. And my sister had an encounter, my cousin Cherry, and my aunt Moline. Bigfoot was chasing the dogs, running around my aunt's house, Moline Montoya, out at Glacier Homes. They left tracks, and when the cops came, it was still chasing the dogs. Any dog that was chained up, busted loose to go after it. It was going nuts. Even when the cops came there, they found footprints. There was supposedly casts made of them, but I don't know whatever became of the casts. And the responding officer first on scene was Larry Higgins. And we're going to get his story here shortly. We haven't got that yet, but he was the responding officer, the first one on scene. And somewhere along the line, we're going to have that story to pass on and share with you folks. That's all I have to share for now.
Thank you, Wade. Thank you, David. Appreciate it. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea how hard it is, especially if you've never talked in a public forum or on radio, that these guys have come forward.
We had a conference here, and they've stayed after the conference to participate and to tell you their experiences. And my hat goes off to each and every one of them here, because you don't realize how tough it really is. But you are probably the bravest people around, and I take my hat off to you. Now we're going to go to Willie. Willie had an encounter in Kiowa. That's right around the corner from here, folks. There's things going on here that you would not believe. Willie, share your story.
Hello, my name is Willie Kutfinger. 1968. I stayed with my uncle Jack Coyler in Kiowa, just about 12 miles west of Browning. One time, me and my cousins were fishing, and we fished every morning. One morning, we went up way up high, and as we was coming down, we'd come around a bend, and my cousin told us to get down. So we got down, and we didn't know what he was looking at. As he waved us over, we were around the corner. What we saw, I know what I saw to this day. For a long time, we didn't speak of it because people probably thought, well, they're just a bunch of stupid kids. It was only about 15. Whatever we saw was this creature that was by the crit. He was washing his feet. And as he stood up, looked up down the river, then he looked up the other river. And he got up and he walked up into the brush. Whatever that creature was, not walk on all fours, walked on 2 feet. And it disappeared into the brush. Well, we got scared, ran down to my uncle's and we told him about that. They went up and started to rain, kind of washed away the prints. But for whatever they saw, smelt. Didn't smell too good. This day, for a long time, we didn't talk about it. People thought, well, just being crazy kids. That smell, what we smell, nothing like I ever smelled. We smelled skunk, smelled all like beaver. Whatever that smell come from wasn't not human. We even had the police come up there, and they looked. They could not find nothing. To this day, I know what I saw. And I believe there's something out there that's unexplainable. And I believe in Bigfoot because I did theories on him. And I believe that whatever is up there, still, someplace in those trees.
Fantastic. Thank you, Willie. Thanks for sharing. You know, we're going to go to commercial real quick. And then after that, we're going to bring Brother Bruce on. He's going to talk about the spiritual aspect between the Indians and the creature. Let's go to commercial, Bill.
Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One that hurts the people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were in the war.
Back to you, Tom.
Thank you, Bill. Ladies and gentlemen, one more time, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. They can't keep it on the shelves and Amazon.com, our new movie, forget about it. I don't know what we're going to do there. We've gotten such a demand. And by the way, Bigfoot Lives 2,
new film of creatures that have never been seen before in the world. Terrell Evans, you could see him on Swamp People on Thursday nights. He's in our movie before he got his own TV show. You'll see Terrell like you never saw him before. Then Bigfoot Lives too, ladies and gentlemen. Order it now while you can, because it's backed up like you wouldn't believe. But the people who go to our website, searchingforbigfoot.com, and order Bigfoot Lives 2, they get them right away. That's the thing, the deal I made. So all you have to do is go to Shopping for Bigfoot on Searching for Bigfoot's website and order it today. Without any further ado, let's have my brother, Bruce Schultz, the reason why we're up here, let him tell you the story why the Blackfeet have that superstition, that aura, that cloud around Bigfoot.
Hi, my brothers and sisters out there in the Black Bigfoot world. You know, you just heard from Willie. He mentioned Kiowa Camp and Fred Makes Cold Weathers. That's just across the road from where we live. And this is the first time I heard this story from someone else. But getting back to what Tom was saying, you know, just today at the IGA, a guy came up to me. He does these sweats, and he was telling me that I invited him to the show, but that he couldn't come because of the spiritual aspect of the these sweats. That when they have these sweats, they can call these Bigfoot in, and they leave offerings, and the Bigfoot come to them because they trust them. And they talk to the Bigfoot, and they can communicate with them. And the Bigfoot, trust the Indians, and so they can call the Bigfoot into the sweats with them and ask them questions and communicate with them. And the people leave offerings, so this closeness with the Bigfoot spirit can't be broke. So the people that have these encounters in the sweats, they can't come forward and talk to the community or the world.
Let me ask you something, Bruce, before you go any further. What does that word mean, sweats? Is that a sweat lodge?
Yeah, that's a sweat lodge.
Okay. Not everybody out there in Bigfoot land know that terminology.
Well,
I just wanted to make that clear. No, 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 don't be sorry. Go ahead, continue.
That's just about, that's not just one person. That's just one person's story, but I believe Tom had another person, Morris Weaseltail, on, and he goes through the same thing as Dan Yellow Kidney was telling us about. But this spiritual part of it's kind of new to me. I haven't ever had never been in a sweat lodge or nothing like that, so I can't say what goes on, but just the stories that I've heard from them.
You know, Bruce, that's all you can do. And those of you out there know how the audio on this, it's really fine. It's just that Bruce has that, I don't know. You know, the girls just go crazy for him. And, of course, you know, we've got our other Don Juan that's traveling with us, Bill Coffey, which you'll be hearing from him tonight, too. Thank you, Bruce, for shedding some new air on this. And you know what? We're going to get to the bottom of it and find out ourselves you know, maybe we should go into one of these sweat lodges. We'll let young blood do that, because he has problems staying awake. So maybe they can do something for him while he's out there. But nevertheless, without any further ado, we're going to go to some real meat and potatoes tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to hear a story that I just heard for the first time last night. A man's been traveling with me for the last 40 hours, and you've heard him on a show many times, Mitch Waite, the chief monster chaser, the Mogollon Rim, in the mountains of Arizona. He actually unearthed a den where these creatures were in. He got in the den himself with camera. Within 3 feet of him, at the back of this den, there was a baby Bigfoot. That's right, baby Bigfoot. He heard it whimpering. He said it, and people are going to say, well, hey, did he kill it? Did he shoot it? Did he capture it? Without any further ado, here's Mitch Waite. I'm going to tell you the entire story. And Mitch, will you? You've got a little bit. You talk a little bit louder than Lover Boy over here. So let's hope we can hear you.
Okay, this happened back in June 26th of 2010. I was accompanied by 14 other researchers at the time, and we came across a nest that was made out of pine needles. The nest measured about 12 feet long, about 6 foot wide, and about 5 foot high. The center had been hollowed out with one opening at one end, and then there were some branches and so forth that, to where they could actually pull the branches up and cover the opening. And so we photographed it. We looked around a little bit. Some of the people decided to head back towards camp, and I decided, well, I need to go inside and see how this nest is constructed and basically to see if there was anything inside. So I took my night vision camera with me, and I started climbing inside. And, of course, as soon as you start in the hole, it blocks out the light. It's where you can't see anything at all. So with my naked eyes, I couldn't see anything. But with my camera, I could see the inside of the nest. So I crawled in about halfway in to where just my ankles were hanging out of the opening. And the people that were with me, I gave them instructions that if I started screaming that they were to yank me out of there. And so I crawled in, and I was looking around with my eyes, and I couldn't see anything. It was just pitch black. And then I looked at my camera lens, or the camera viewfinder, and sitting back in the back, curled up in a fetal position, was a small baby Bigfoot. It was terrified. I got the feeling that it, you know, any closer and it would have started panicking. I could, in the viewfinder, I could see its feet and its legs, its backside, its butt. And up the top of the nest, he was trying to cover the top of his face with some of the pine needles, so I couldn't see that real well, but I could see his eyes blinking at me from time to time. So I sat there and I thought about it for a few moments, and then I decided, well, if I pursue in any further, it's going to panic and either come after me or try to break out of the nest. And I decided that if that be the case, if it comes at me, I'm going to have to kill it. Well, I'm a no-kill organization, so that's against my charter. So I backed out. And I figured, well, Mom has to be somewhere close by. If that thing starts screaming in terror, then Mom would come down and fix all of us that were standing around the nest. So we decided to back off and put a camera on the nest, on the opening, see if we could get a picture of either the mom going in or the baby coming out. The next day we came back. My camera had been twisted around on the tree and was now looking up in some bushes. But I did get a photograph of a large hairy chest and arm. So Mom was close by, so I think we made the right choice.
You know, I got to tell you something, Mitch. I saw those pictures, and it blew me away. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not much that goes on in the Bigfoot world that entices me. This blew me away, okay? And to be that close to a baby, wow. Believe me. You know, people travel all their lives, and they all wonder and hope and pray. Here, Mitch was in a matter of how many feet, Mitch?
About 3 feet.
3 feet away from one of these things. Now, in the back of its den, was there an opening getting out, or just there one opening?
Exit. One opening.
Now, picture that, ladies and gentlemen. Think about this for a second. You're going into this cylinder-type situation, pine needles, no matter what else it was constructed of, one way in, one way out, blocking that exit with your body. At the other end of this den, an unknown primate. Now, remember one thing. Chimpanzee, within the last 2 years, destroyed a woman's face. She was a pet. Remember that story? Think about it. What could this creature do? You got some big cojones, my friend, to be in that den and knowing that this thing could come at you any minute. Incredible. Now the big question is this. You got out of the den. What did you do?
We basically backed up out to let the cameras do the work. And, of course, they spoiled my plans by twisting the cameras around on the tree. So I only got the one picture of the hairy forearm and chest.
Now, you're going to hear a lot of naysayers out there and a lot of people that are saying, this guy nuts left the den, just put up some cameras and went home? Is that what you're saying you did?
Well, we came back the next morning, but we didn't actually leave the area. We just left that specific spot.
Well, we'll leave this big question mark up in the air to all of our listeners around the globe. What would have you done? Big question mark. What would have you done? Now, get off that subject just for a second. You've been traveling with me and my team for the last couple of 3 days. In one sentence, what can you say?
It's been a nonstop roller coaster. It's been busy.
Now, here's something. You know, you hear this all the time. People who've been in the industry. Did you learn anything since you've been with us?
Oh, yes. I've been paying close attention to what Tom's been doing. He's a good teacher.
And thank you. Coming from you means an awful lot. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's a man that's been pursuing his dream up in Arizona, and it's paid off, and it's still paying off. And here he's with us now, okay? I'll tell you what, I learn each and every day. We went, the man that's got the most seniority, to the newbie, Mr. Bill Coffey. Bill is with us, okay, ladies and gentlemen? And I got to tell you, I hand it to him, because not everybody can adapt to the way we roll, the way we live on the road, and the way we, whatever we encounter each and every day. But since you're the newbie, what can you talk about?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank my new brothers, Rob and Mitch, for helping me adapt to this crazy thing we're doing and try to make it easier for me. I'm trying to help make it easier for them. I'd like to say thanks to my new friend and guide, Wade Running Crane. He introduced us to a lot of people today, set up interviews. Helped me do behind-the-scenes stuff that has to be done, and you know, so I got to thank him. And goes out to Marco Bill. He said, "Welcome aboard for your new adventure and wild ride." Well, you weren't even close, buddy. You and your calm demeanor when you told me that, I thought, oh, that's going to be a piece of cake. Thanks, Marco.
You're welcome.
thank you, sir. But it's been amazing, being the newbie in it, and all the years Tom's got in it, all the years Mitch has in, all the years Rob's got into it, and me coming in new, and all meeting all these new people have taken us in and really opened their hearts and their up and their families up to us. It's been interesting, and talking and hearing all these stories. We interviewed a lot of people today. It's unbelievable. You know, this stuff happened years ago, and it's been great.
You know, here's a good, and thank you for that, both of you guys. And everybody out there in Bigfoot Land can hear you because we're on speaker right now on this conference line. I wanted to take from both of you guys. When people say that, oh, the Guardian is a crew are full of crap, they just go out there and they hit and run, they don't get anything done. Is there any validity to that, Mitch?
No, they have no clue as to what goes on behind the scenes here. All the research, all the people we talk to, it's a real harsh schedule that we keep.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it firsthand from Mitch Waite. Here's a man that's been investigating in his own area for some time. I want you to understand out there on Bigfoot Land that a story just doesn't pop up overnight without the investigative work behind the scenes. These guys now have experienced that. They see that the relentless roller coaster ride from the beginning to the end to where we're at, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. We've got so much ahead of us. Ben Blood, come in here, because I know that you're sitting there at the edge of the table there, and I know you want to add your 2 cents. Please.
Well, all you guys already know what my probably going to say or have some rough estimate, but, you know, we're just out here doing what we do best, keeping it real, so all you guys don't have to do all the legwork. You'll know what's going on, as always.
What are you going to do about letting everybody know about picture-wise and story-wise? Send over to Marco Bill so our people out in Bigfoot Land can see where we're at and what we're doing.
Right now, it's all in rough draft form. As soon as we get the show wrapped up and get back somewhere where we can sit down and hash over all the plethora of information we've taken in today, my God, we've probably got 30 or 40 pages of notes on different encounters, sightings, phone calls. We've got camera footage. We've got stills. I've got a very busy night ahead of me tonight, not to mention we're probably going to go in the field somewhere, too.
Well, you've heard it, ladies and gentlemen, from the people who are in the trenches. You've heard it from people who've had real encounters. And right now, what we knew, we're an hour different, ladies and gentlemen, than you guys are on the West Coast, and we've got a lineup of people to still yet to see while it's still that we can keep our eyes open. Marco, Bill, I hope you can handle it for the next 8 minutes. Is that okay
well, I
with you?
Maybe you want to talk to TJ. You haven't talked to him in a while.
Oh, my son. This is my real son.
Yes.
You're
on, TJ. TJ, you're on.
Tommy.
No, I forgot.
Well, he's in bed with his daughter and listened to the show, so maybe he might have dozed off.
Good. Okay. Son, if you can hear me or if you archive the show, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. He's 3 hours difference. It's 11 o'clock there. Gosh, I'm very sorry from the bottom of my heart. But nevertheless, we'll have you on next week, TJ. What else is going on, Marco Bill?
That's about it. We're staying busy. Oh. Lots of emails and lots of things going on. I'm sure. Well, I'm going to be busy putting up lots of pictures and stories.
He'll have a ton of it coming to you tonight. That's for darn sure. All right, Marco, Bill, we're going to have to go. We've got a bunch of
Time to sign off anyway, Tom.
Okay, good buddy. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America. Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot Live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pipe that they hold and a promise to the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one California, driving to